there's just no point in creating a different research direction or trying to implement a new practice on farm as a researcher if farmers were never going to go for it in the first place. So, for example, in my mind, if I was to be trying to create a new product or a new mastitis treatment, it not only needs to be effective and sustained, like properly sustainable, but it also needs to be practical. It needs to be something that farmers will actually want to adopt at the end of the process. And so I felt quite strongly about that. And so I, like in tandem with my actual lab work, I've been running surveys with farmers in Australia, academics internationally, just to try and understand everyone else's like preferences for what they would want a treatment to look like in terms of, you know, mode of action, delivery method, like you were talking about, administration, all those types of things, so that that sort of information and intel is integrated into the design from the beginning.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Good day and welcome to the Dairy Black Belt Podcast. This is Mark Thomas from TELUS Ag, and we're really happy today to have with us Tiana Sherry. Okay, the R is silent. Tiana Sherry. Yep. Welcome, Tiana.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Tiana, when I just asked, you said born and raised Aussie. So tell us a little bit about your background. So you're also a lawyer. You're obviously studying mastitis. So give us a brief intro of how you got to where you are and some of that past law and now mastitis research.
Sure. So like I was saying, it's a whole long journey. It was a whole long thing, but essentially something that I went to an agricultural high school. That's my introduction to agriculture. We don't have many agricultural schools in Australia, but the one I went to was pretty awesome. So that really kickstarted my sort of passion for agriculture and dairy cattle in particular. But through my experience with dairy, especially, I sort of found this really interesting division between like the scientists and what scientists were saying versus what government was doing to help. Same thing, what farmers wanted versus what was happening. That real division between agriculture and scientific progress versus what law and regulation was actually working on. And so for me, it seemed like there needed to be just more literacy between both parties, like people who can understand what farmers and scientists are trying to say and people who understand what lawyers are trying to say. So for me, I thought it was best to have more of those people who could translate, basically, and understood both the science and the law. So long, long academic journey, degrees in genetics, dairy, a law degree as well, and essentially, I took to research like a duck. I had the chance to do an honours project in dairy genetics. And from there, I sort of just fell sideways into a PhD, as most academics do. I don't think academics say, and then I planned this, and then I planned to get into this. It was very much, I really love the science space, and the dairy space. I really love the law and the regulation around it. And my PhD, luckily enough for me, has allowed me to not only work on the science, but the policy stuff as well. So that's where I am currently.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access wisenetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
That's really cool. That's really, really exciting. So your PhD research now is in the area of antimicrobial resistance, alternative therapies, mastitis. So tell us a bit about what you're doing.
Yeah. So my entire ethos, I guess, is in terms of mastitis treatment, whilst prevention and diagnosis are both so crucial and important areas of study and things we need to be continually looking to improve on in terms of management, we're never going to prevent 100% of cases. And so when we get that case or that mastitis event or outbreak in a herd, you need to have an effective treatment for it. And with antimicrobial resistance becoming such a huge problem around the world to varying degrees, regardless, we still need something that can treat at the end of the day. Which is why, and I personally don't believe that bringing out more and more antibiotic derivatives that then bacteria will develop resistance to, I don't see that as a very sustainable system, because what we're doing is eventually just slowly allowing these bacteria to develop more and more resistance to more and more things, more and more different treatments. So I believe like the antibiotic journey should be stopping and we should be looking for alternatives. And so that's my PhD focus in terms of therapy, is to try and find something different. And I'm not alone. There are many people around the world working on this.
No, excellent. And I would agree. Yes, we obviously, within our profession and working internationally, Mexico, USA, China, you know, there's those products which probably don't have a lot of data, immune stimulants, et cetera. And then some newer products, or not necessarily newer products, but products that are being evaluated further of, you know, bacterial products, but not antibiotics, correct? So can you give us a little more insight about what you're looking into and maybe some of the research that you're doing?
Yeah, so here's the part where the lawyer in me comes out, and I say that certain parts of it are commercial in confidence. But my area is definitely looking towards, I use the word synthetic biology, not to scare everybody, but more in the sense of looking at ways that we can use existing genes, proteins that are already within our current system, maybe rejigging them a tiny bit so that they're more fit for purpose. And using those types of materials, compounds, as points of treatment. So, for example, you've heard of RNA pesticides, that sort of thing. Imagine similar concepts, not exactly that, but similar sort of concepts, but being applied to trying to create mastitis treatments.
Okay. So certainly, you know, there's some published trials for products like nisin, et cetera, you know, along the lines of those type of products, technologies?
Similar. Niacin, for me, that's more of an inorganic compound. I'm more in the organic compound space.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, given that information and obviously looking for new products, obviously I assume within this, okay, obviously keeping in mind the logistics, right, is, you know, we see some products that come to market that are treating twice a day, and we know in most larger dairy systems, twice a day treatment is difficult, et cetera. So any specific comments on that in terms of, you know, treatment duration, treatment application?
Yes, very much so. My other point of my PhD, and I think this is something I've just sort of seen along the way, is there's just no point in creating a different research direction or trying to implement a new practice on farm as a researcher if farmers were never going to go for it in the first place. So, for example, in my mind, if I was to be trying to create a new product or a new mastitis treatment, it not only needs to be effective and sustained, like properly sustainable, but it also needs to be practical. It needs to be something that farmers will actually want to adopt at the end of the process. And so I felt quite strongly about that. And so I, like, in tandem with my actual lab work, I've been running surveys with farmers in Australia, academics internationally, just to try and understand everyone else's, like, preferences for what they would want a treatment to look like in terms of, you know, mode of action, delivery method, like you were talking about, administration, all those types of things, so that that sort of information and intel is integrated into the design from the beginning. So like the treatments I'm testing now, they are based on pharma feedback that I've already had. So in that sense, I'm trying to start greasing the wheels for adoption as we start. Like, there's no point creating something a pharma won't use.
That's great to hear, because so many times, yeah, there's products that actually potentially work or have some interesting application to trial further, but it's just not logistically possible to implement it. Yeah, so you know, that's great that you're, you know, bringing all those processes together.
Thanks. Yeah, I've always thought it odd that, you know, people don't listen. Like, people need to listen to farmers more, because then farmers are caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of like, oh, we have to use this thing now because that may be the only thing that's effective to treat what we need, when it's really not the thing that doesn't save them time. It's not cost efficient. It's just a problem. So trying to avoid that problem before it happens.
So, Tiana, keeping in mind NDAs and confidentiality, where can you say, you know, is this something that's quite a ways off, or are you close enough that, you know, maybe in the next year we see some commercial product available, or what can we expect? When do we have you? When do we need to have you back on the Dairy Podcast to tell us more?
In a year's time, I would say, definitely in a year's time. So I've had some promising results with a couple of things I've been trialing. And then from here, it's just about increasing the complexity of testing. So, for example, you want to try and increase the complexity of the models of disease you're testing with, so that it's more reasonable to say that, yes, it will be working in cattle and it will be working without a doubt. So just increasing the certainty of all these treatments. And then from there, it's the pathway to commercialization. And who knows how long that takes? This is my first time trying that.
Correct,
sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, as we've done research, we know we've been some of the primary researchers for some products. And yeah, it's kind of 6-8 years later that we see something that's actually implemented right on farm. So,
yeah. So I'm just going to continue to try and strive for, you know, positive results, keep going down the paths that are working, leave the paths that aren't. And hopefully in a year's time, we'll see some good come from it. That's my hope.
Well, Tiana, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing more. We look forward to seeing some of your research. Best of success with your PhD project. We really thank you for joining from across the globe today.
Thank you very much, Mark. It was great to be on.
So a great thanks to soon-to-be Dr. Tiana Sherry. And with that, signing off, please keep all of our sponsors in mind as you listen to the podcast. And when you have a chance, thank them for their support to make this podcast possible. Have a great day.